pray that you would stand for the reading of God's word, not in reverence to me, but in reverence to the Most High God, amen, if you can. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we'll read through verse 4. If you found it, say amen. Amen. If not, say wait. Amen. As we have all arrived at this place together, beloved, we'll begin in verse 1. I'll read aloud, and you can read along silently. And the word of God reads like this. In verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." In verse 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." The grass withereth, and the flowers thereof fade away, but the word of God shall never, ever pass away. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I give you glory, I give you honor, I give you the praise. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your long-suffering towards your people. Lord, we come before you today a yielded people. We come before you a submissive people. We come before you today with great expectation that you are going to provide something, dear God, that is going to be necessary to our human existence. Lord, everything we've ever needed, your hand has provided. Lord, we have expectation today, and we are assured that you will not disappoint. And now, Lord, for my sake and for the sake of your people, Lord, reduce me to be simply a yielded vessel, the vessel that you have chosen today. Dear God, speak to me and through me directly to the hearts, minds, and souls of your people. And Lord, let your word be true. Let your word do what you have purposed it to do. Let that word, Father God, that goes forth be pleasing unto you. Let it prosper in the one who would receive it, even as their soul prospers. And then, Lord God, we'll give you the glory. Lord, we'll give you the honor. Lord, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen. Amen. And thank God. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. Amen. I want to remain true to the theme that was given. The theme that was given is the good soldier. The good soldier. Uh-huh. Somebody say the good soldier.
The good soldier.
The good soldier. I don't consider myself a theme preacher, but if now the leadership in this place has taken the time to get before God and haven't received from God the direction that this should go. See, beloved, we have to understand that while it is good to honor the man of God, the man of God is worthy of our honoring him for his service unto the Lord. But every time we come into the house of God, there should be an expectation whenever you cross that threshold that God's going to show up and show himself strong in your behalf. And so, beloved, I want to now yield to the topic that was given because it was given. And so now, beloved, I want to direct your attention to the good soldier. The good soldier. The good soldier. I want to take a look at this one thing, beloved. I'm concerned here about this one thing. As I looked over the text, there was one thing now that was glaring at me. There was one thing that stood out before anything else. There was one thing here, beloved, I want you to see this. He says here in verse 1, he says, thou therefore, my son. I wish I had somebody. Is anybody going to pray with me in here today? He says, my son. I want you to understand this one thing about this word son. This word son in scripture, beloved, is one who is now taught of a teacher. And so immediately, beloved, immediately I was able now to glean from this text that Paul now took accountability for Timothy's personal development. He says, Timothy, he says, I've taught you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, Timothy, I taught you the unadulterated gospel. See, because this is the thing about Paul, beloved. You have to understand this thing. Paul did not take lightly the mandate that he was given to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm going to preach the gospel the way it's supposed to be preached. I'm going to preach the gospel in its unadulterated form. He said, if anybody comes behind me preaching any other gospel, let them be cursed. There is only one gospel. There is only one God. There is only one Father. There is only one Jesus. There is only one calling. There is only one hope of your calling. It's in Jesus Christ. He said, I preach the gospel. I've taught you from the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, you know the power of the word of God. See, beloved, I find this interesting. Now, go with me. I find this interesting because what he does immediately is now he puts now a burden on his identity. There is now a premium placed on who he is. See, beloved, that sometimes in our Christianity, we tend now to forget what this thing is all about. See, everybody wants to be saved, beloved, but now everybody does not accept the responsibility that comes along with being saved. I wish I had somebody. See, because if you're saved, beloved, there has to be an expectation that at some point, it might not happen today, it might not happen tomorrow, but at some point, there has to be a burden placed on who you are. At some point, the thing you've been talking about has to be real in your life. At some point, you have to go from the religiously correct cliche to an effective application of the things of God in your life. He said he places a burden on who he is. Who he is. And so now watch this, beloved. And that's why I find it so interesting here that he offers up three similitudes of the Christian experience. Number one, he says, there is the good soldier. Number two, he says, there is the athlete. And then he says, there is now the farmer. But for the sake of this message, for the sake of this instruction, for the sake of what God has to say in this house on this day, in this hour, in this moment, we want to focus on the good soldier. Somebody say the good soldier. The good soldier. The good soldier. Now watch this, beloved. See, because now, if you've been a soldier, you glean something immediately from this characterization, from this analogy, that others now will not glean right away. Because not only do you know what it means to be a soldier, you know what it looks like. And so, for those of you who don't know what it looked like, let me share this with you in the scripture. It talks about the centurion. You know the story. The scripture said that there was a centurion that came to Christ. And the centurion, beloved, watch this. A centurion is a soldier who has authority over 100 soldiers. And so the centurion came and he said, my servant is at home lying sick with the palsy. And Jesus answered, he said, I'll come and heal him. See, beloved, all you have to do is make known to Jesus what it is that you need. See, he says, some of you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. See, some of us are asking God for things that we don't even believe he can do. Some of us are asking God for deliverance when we don't even believe it as the words come across our lips. Yeah, okay. He says, I'm coming to heal them. But watch this, beloved. Here's where you got to get this. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. He said, speak a word only. And somebody say, all I need is a word from God. Speak a word only. All I need is a word from God. Yeah, but beloved, it's one thing to receive the word. It's a completely different thing to allow the word to have its will in your life. It's one thing to have something, but a completely different thing to know how to have that thing operating in your life. He said, I know the value of a word. He said, because I'm a man under authority. I wish I had somebody. He says, I'm a man under authority. He said, there is an authority that is over me. And then he says, there are those now who are under my authority. This word authority here is a delegated authority. It is permissible authority. He says, I am under authority, and now I have been delegated authority, and now that authority now affects the way that I live my life. But how many of you know, beloved, see, being a soldier is not something I do. Being a soldier is who I am. I wish I had somebody. See, being a soldier, it is a lifestyle. Yeah, it is a frame of mind. See, because now watch this. He says, because there are soldiers under me, he said, I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does that. He said, because I am under authority, that authority now has now influence and persuasion in the way that I live my life, in the way that I supervise those who are under me. And everything that I do, it is this authority that I live under that is the power of persuasion in my life. He said, because I'm a soldier. Somebody say, I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. See, now watch this, beloved. See, because now when he now enlisted in the army, yeah, he acknowledged this authority. When he enlisted in the army, he consented to yield to this authority. And as now he was sworn in the army, from that point on, he gave up his authority so that the authority that was over him could rule in his life. I wish I had somebody. See, let me bring this thing home. Now you remember when you enrolled in the army. Oh, you don't believe me? Watch this. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now watch this. Here's where it happened. You might not remember this, but let me put you in a place of remembrance. The scripture said that when you confess him as Lord, you were enrolled in the army of Jesus Christ. Are there any soldiers of Jesus Christ in the house? Or let me look over here. Are there any soldiers of Jesus Christ in the house? See, I want you to be sure about that, because we're going to place a demand on who you are. If there are any soldiers in the house, somebody needs to shout, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. Now watch this. Watch this. I'm getting ready to throw you a curve. Right. See, because he said, If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now watch this word Lord. This word Lord means supreme authority. Supreme authority. See, that's why the centurion was quick to yield to it, because it's a supreme authority. It's the authority over all authority. The Bible said that Christ came according to Scripture. He died according to Scripture. He was buried according to Scripture. But on the third day, he got up. And the Scripture said he came to participate in your natural life so that you could participate in his supernatural. Well, I wish I had somebody. Yeah, he came to have fellowship with you in the natural so you could have fellowship with him in the super. Somebody say, I want super. I want super. I want super. And now watch this, beloved. He says, now, as he came to participate in your natural, he made way for you to participate in his super. And so he had to come. He had to die. But now watch this, beloved. I thank God that he died. But I thank God even more that he got up. Because he didn't get up the same way he went down. The Bible says when he got up, minister, he got up with all power. He didn't just have a little bit of power. He got up with all power. And not only did he get up with power, but the Bible says that God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Now, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, all power. Somebody say, all power, belongs to him. And now watch this. He says, now, everything has to yield to this power. And so you might not have done it already, but at some point you will. Yeah, the devil might not have done it already, but at some point he will. He said, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Every tongue shall confess. Everyone will yield to this authority. And so now here's the question, beloved. I want to ask this question, and then we're going to move on. The scripture asks this question. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? I wish I had somebody. See, beloved, now I want you to know that now, whether you receive it or not, the demand has been placed on who you are today. Yeah, there's been a demand placed on who you are. So he says, now, if you're a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not yield to me and give me authority in your life? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and waste any time worrying about the things in this world? Oh, why don't you just give it to me? Because I'm Lord. Yeah, I'm the Lord over sickness. I'm the Lord over disease. I'm the Lord over sickness. I'm the Lord over unforgiveness. I'm the Lord of your salvation. I'm the Lord that you've been needing in your life. It's me. The thing that you need is me. He said, but in order for me to be effective in your life, you've got to get out of the way. I wish I had somebody. I don't want to be long, but beloved, I've got to speak what the Lord has given me. Is that all right? Is that all right? He places a demand on who he is. And so now watch how this thing progresses. He says here, thou therefore, my son. He says, now, that's the thing that distinguishes you from everybody else. You're a son. Yeah. Thou therefore, the people of God. That's the thing that distinguishes you from everyone else. Yeah. Thou therefore, the soldiers of Jesus Christ. That's the thing that distinguishes you from everyone else. And so with everyone else, life happens to them, but life don't happen to you. Yeah. There's a way that I deal with life, because I understand now that because of who I am, I can't give myself over to the same devices that everyone else does. because of who I am. I can't give in to fear because of who I am. I don't rely on the same things for my salvation because of who I am. He said, my son, because of who you are, he said, don't be strengthened in the devices of this world. He said, be strong in the grace. Well, I wish I had somebody be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, let me tell you this. See, Paul knows something about grace. Paul says, but for the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, it's grace that made me. It's grace that shaped me. It's grace now that has influence in my life. See, grace, beloved, grace is the gift of God. Grace, beloved, is the benefit of God. Grace, beloved, is the favor of God. Somebody say, I got favor. I got favor. But now watch this, beloved. You can have favor and not know how to use the favor that you've been given. See, because here's the real power of grace, beloved. The real power of grace is allowing this divine favor to influence your life. The real power of grace is allowing this divine favor to persuade you in the way that you live your life. The real power of grace is not just having grace, but knowing what to do with grace when you get it. I had somebody. So what does he say? He says, grace has made me who I am. This word now, I am, it means now to exist. He said, before grace found me, I was out there living in darkness. Before grace found me, I could do nothing to change my situation. Before grace found me, I was dependent upon the things of the world. But one day grace found me, and grace don't play by the rules. How many of you know favor ain't fair? Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm not just favored, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm not just favored, I'm blessed and highly favored. He said, now grace made me. He said, so when I needed to be saved, grace found me. And I was saved by grace through faith. And grace found me. He said, and there was nothing I could do on my own. He said, but grace did it. Yeah. He said, you couldn't do it on your own because there should not be any doubt about who changed your life. Yeah. Who made the difference in your life? Yeah. Who delivered you out of your situation? Who has kept you all of these years? Yeah. It's grace. It's the grace of God. Said grace found me, and he said when grace did what it did, when it did, how it did, and the way that it did it, he left no doubt that it was God. That God left it this way because now it was not of yourself, but it was the gift from God. Now watch this. He said, I'm justified freely by the grace that is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, beloved, I want you to know that not only were you saved, but you were liberated. Oh, I wish I had somebody. See, God knew that it was not enough just to save you. He had to liberate you. And so he said, there is a redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because when he died, now he took authority over death. And the scripture said, we've been laying back afraid of this death. But when he died and rose up again, he took authority over death. He took the sting out of death. And now you have been redeemed from the penalty of sin. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, there is now no more condemnation. You're free. You're free. You're free. You've been liberated. You've been set free. Now, you know what I just did, beloved? I took away your license to continue to feel sorry for yourself. I wish I had somebody. Yeah. You can no longer blame it on God. He did what he needed to do.
He set you free. Now, if you continue to stay in bondage to these beggarly elements of the world, that's on you. God said, I've done my part. I'm just waiting on you.
I'm waiting.
So because of who I am, everybody else can submit to these beggarly elements in the world, but how many of you know I ain't got time for that? I've been set free. I ain't got time for that. I've been set free. I ain't got time for unforgiveness. I've been set free. I ain't got time for hatred. I've been set free. I ain't got time for it. I'm free in the Lord. I ain't got time for that stuff. I ain't got time for it. I ain't got time. Time is too precious. I ain't got time for that. Now watch this. Watch this, beloved. Watch this. I got to move on. They should have told you. I'm a little long-winded, but I got to move on. Now watch what he says. He says now, grace saved me. Grace redeemed me. And he says now, watch this. He says, by grace, I have a place in Christ. I was justified by faith. And I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. It's Romans chapter 5, if you want to write it down. He said, in Christ, I also have access to his grace. I want you to know, I have access to it. And he says, now, as I've been given access, I'm going to move into it and I'm going to stand. Oh, I wish. He said, this word stand, beloved, it don't mean to sit still. A stand means to stay. A stand means to remain. Stand means to abide. Stand means to continue. Stand means to, when the storms come and they coming, I'm standing. I wish I had somebody. He says now, when the enemy comes in like a flood and he's coming, I'm standing. He said, I'm not going to move from this place of grace. I'm not moving. He said, because if I stay in this place, he said, God is able to make grace abound towards me. So that me having all sufficiency in all things now, he is able now to make me abound in every good work. If I'll just let God do what he'll do, God will take care of everything else. He said, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, if you'll stand in his grace, he'll make his grace abound towards you. And now watch this, beloved. He said, my grace is sufficient. Yeah, it's sufficient in all things. My grace is sufficient in the morning, sufficient in the noonday, sufficient in the evening, sufficient in the midnight hour. When I've been weeping all night long, grace sits there right with me. Grace doesn't leave me. I know joy is coming in the morning, but grace sat with me, didn't leave me. He said, now watch this, beloved. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And this is important. This is important because Paul said, so now knowing this, knowing who I am, and more importantly, who he is, he said, when the trouble comes, he said, I'm going to be strengthened in his grace. He said, because when I can admit what I can't do, God will show up and show me what he can do. I wish I had somebody. Paul says, for this reason, he said, when trouble comes, he said, I glory in my infirmities. He said, because if I'll get out of the way, he said, I glory in my infirmities. He said, when trouble comes, he said, I don't need to fight battles I don't need to be fighting. All I need to do is boast about my God. The one whose eyes have been searching for me, looking to and fro throughout the whole earth, trying to find those whose heart is set upon him, that he might show up and show himself strong in your behalf. I want somebody to know here today, you're here, and this is the season. This is the hour. God has locked in on you. You are the apple of his eye. God's getting ready to show up and show himself strong. Paul said, I rejoice because I know what God can do. See, the enemy don't know what God can do, but I know what God can do. He says, so when my trials come, he said, I rejoice because I know that they'll build in me a patience. And then patience will work within me an experience. And experience hope, and the hope will not leave me ashamed as the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. He said, because of who you are, you don't deal with tribulations and trials the way everybody else does. And so as he puts a mandate on who he is, he tells him earlier in chapter 1, he says, you have to endure. I've endured. He said, but I've endured because of who I am. He said, I'm a son. I'm a servant of the Most High God. And he says, I know what the enemy does not know. I know what he's hoping I don't know. God did not give me a spirit of fear. Oh, that's good news. If you were waiting to shout, that was your opportunity to shout. See, God did not give me a spirit of fear. But what God gave me was a spirit of power. Somebody say, I got power. What God gave me was a spirit of love. Somebody say, God loves me. What God gave me and was so important to him, he left it to me as an inheritance, was God gave me peace. That's what he gave me. He gave me peace. So he says, you're different, and it's okay to be different. Somebody say, I'm different. He said, it's okay to be different. It's all right. He says, so stir up the gift that is inside of you by the laying on of hands. See, somebody here, the only thing that's standing in between you and your destiny is you just need to stir up something. Yeah. Got to stir it up. Got to stir up. Stir up that thing that is inside of you and be strengthened by the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. And it's the last thing, then we're going to move on. What does he say? He said, and the things that thou have heard of me. He said, commit the same unto faithful men. Well, what does he hear? Back there in chapter 1, he says, now, you have heard of me a sound doctrine. The form of sound words. This word form means a pattern. Somebody say pattern. This word form means a blueprint. And he says, I've given you a gift of power and love and of a sound mind. He said, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he said, don't forget the word. He said, I've given you my word. And he said that in his word, there is now a pattern. See, before you step on the battlefield, beloved, you need to know that there is a strategy that has already been laid out. I'm not just going into battle, not being fully equipped. He said there's a strategy. And he said there's a pattern for victory in the battle. He said, now, I want you to adhere to the pattern, and then I want you to not keep it to yourself, but I want you to give it to others who can teach the same thing. See, beloved, what you understand that is in this Christian experience, we all in this thing together. Yeah, we have all things common. Yeah, we're all in this thing together. And so he says, I've given you everything that you need. And so when trouble comes, he says, just be who you are. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Yeah. He said, when trouble comes, when affliction comes, he said, I endure hardness. He said, I'm not turning to run. This word endure means to remain under. Yeah. When trouble comes, I ain't running. I remain under. Yeah. When trouble comes, I don't need to be afraid. I remain under. When trouble comes, I don't rely on the things of the world. But that's the time when I make my way to the throne room of grace and I attach myself to the love of God and I refuse to move. Somebody say, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. He said, I'm going to endure. But he says now, you have to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I'm going to share with you the characteristics of the soldier, and then we're going to make our way out here. Number one, the good soldier is a follower. He's a follower. He's a man under authority. Now, the good soldier is not the one who has fancy titles. defended position. The good soldier is not the one who seems to be spiritual. The good soldier is not the one who is more concerned about faking it till they make it. No, the good soldier is simply one who is under authority. Who now has submitted to the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ and has allowed now that authority to rule and reign in his life. See, some of us, beloved, we have problems. We have areas that we're dealing with. But if you look closer, beloved, it might be that God is not on the throne. It's you. I hear people say all the time, I'm struggling with this thing. Yeah, you're struggling with it because you haven't given it to God. You're struggling with it because you're still sitting on the throne. He said, but if any man would come after me, Matthew 16:24, write it down. He said, if you're going to come after me, he said, you can't be messing around with this thing. He said, you first have to deny yourself. This word deny means to reject. He said, the greatest enemy to you and your predetermined destiny is you. Before you even start down this path now to victory, before you even start down this path now to eternal life, he said, the first thing that you have to do is free yourself from yourself. I wish I had somebody. Yeah, see, sometimes, beloved, that's the hardest thing to do. Why? Because we can see and we're quick to blame everybody else for our problem. But the problem is you. That's why he said, every time you look into this mirror, every time you look into this mirror, it's like you're looking now into the face of the natural man, the one you should be. He said, but the problem is the one you have become keeps you away from what you should be. He says, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Yeah. To follow means to walk in agreement. He says, take up your cross. The word cross, beloved, means now exposure to death. Yeah. He said, on the battlefield, I ain't got time to wonder about what I should do. That's the time when I need to follow instructions. He said, I ain't got time to worry about the things around me. He said, I don't have time now to worry about my own personal safety. He said, I've denied myself on the battlefield. And he says, now, I take up that which I've been exposed to, and I throw it on my back, and I walk with Jesus. Why? Because I agree with him. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, greater is he who is on the inside of you. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you're here today and you believe that, somebody say, I believe. I believe. He said, a good soldier is a follower. And now watch this, beloved. He goes on. He said, and no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. He said, the good soldier is focused. I wish I had some money. The good soldier doesn't have time to concern himself with the affairs of this life. This word life here, beloved, is bios. Somebody say bios. It means now the livelihood of this world. Yeah, the resources of this world. Yeah, the credibility of the things of this world. He said, I ain't got time to rely on the things of this world. He said, I'm focused. I'm focused. He said, I'm following after Christ. And so now he said, I'm not concerned with the things of this world. Maybe that's why the scripture said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. He said, don't worry about any of these things. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Watch this, beloved. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews says it this way. He said, there are many who have gone on before you, and they did it the right way. Yeah. There are many who have gone on before you, and they submitted and yielded to the power of God in their lives, and they did it the right way. And he said, now that we have so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. This word weight, beloved, means burdens. He said, you've got to lay them aside. See, because beloved, if you're really following after Christ, and if you're really trusting God, trusting in the will of God for your life, he says now you can't afford to let the burdens weigh you down. He said you've got to lay aside every weight. And if you're truly focused, you understand this one thing as well, beloved. Sometimes you got to lay some things down. Sometimes you got to leave some things behind. Sometimes you got to separate from some things. Sometimes you got to separate from a way of thinking. You got to separate from a way of doing. Sometimes you just might have to separate yourself from some people. The things that are keeping you away from your destiny is you won't lay some things down. Somebody say, I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to lay it down. Now watch this. He said, lay down every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Now watch this, beloved. He doesn't specifically name a sin. But I came to tell you that the greatest sin is the sin of disobedience. He said that that's why you've got to be focused like a soldier. Because when the battle is raging, we don't have time for the soldier to decide whether or not he's going to take orders and follow instructions. He said, you've got to lay aside every weight in the sin that just so easily beset you. And now watch this, beloved. Watch what this word beset means. Beset means to hem in. He said, because you won't do what God has told you to do, the enemy has got you hemmed in. Because you won't do what God has told you to do, the church can't go forward. Because you won't do what God has told you to do, the enemy has got you trapped on every side. Because you won't do what God has told you to do. You've got to run away from the sin that does so easily beset you. Because you won't do what God has told you to do. And because you won't do what God has told you to do, the man of God can't do what God has. I wish I had somebody. But see, I want you to know, this ain't all on Pastor Weber. The Bible says that we have all things common. See, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, the man of God can do what he's supposed to do. But because you won't do what you're supposed to do, you got the man of God hemmed in. You got the church hemmed in. You got yourself hemmed in. And you've been hemmed in for so long, you've gotten comfortable in this place of being hemmed in. Somebody say, I want to be free. I want to be free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want to be free. I want to be free. Last one, the good soldier is faithful. He's faithful. Watch what he says in Scripture. He says, the good soldier desires to please the one who has called him to be a soldier. Therefore, he has to be faithful. Because the Bible tells us that it is impossible to please God without faith. The good soldier is faithful. And now watch this, beloved. If you're faithful to the things of God, if you're focused on the things of God, if you're following after as a good soldier, he says now, there is no doubt about the battle that you're fighting. See, some of you are wasting a lot of time fighting the wrong battle. Yeah, you've been fighting the wrong battle. That's why he says in the scripture, he said, the battle is not yours, it's mine. That battle you've been fighting with salvation. Up today, down tomorrow, whether I'm going to be saved today, but tomorrow I'm going to backslide. You've been fighting the wrong battle. He said, the battle is not yours. He said, you've been trying to fight the enemy. You've been trying to oppose the enemy. But the enemy has no power. You're just wasting time. Somebody say, I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of wasting time. He said, the good soldier knows what his battle is. The scripture says that his battle, he fights the good fight. Somebody say, I want to fight the good fight. Said he fights the good fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he said, the good soldier fights the good fight. And let me tell you, beloved, what the good fight is. The good fight is the fight of faith. That's the good fight. The good soldier fights the good fight. Now, why is the good fight, the fight of faith. Why? Because when the enemy comes in, the real challenge to me is to be who I am. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Here's the fight. The fight is for me to continue to believe what I believe. The fight is for me to continue to be influenced by the things I'm influenced by. The fight is for me to continue to be persuaded. The fight is for me to stand up and be who I am. That's the fight. That's the fight. We don't war against flesh and blood. No, the fight is to be who I am. The fight is to hold on. Somebody say, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on to who I am. When trouble comes, I'm going to hold on. Yeah, when trials come, I'm going to hold on. Yeah, when tribulation comes, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to be who God has purposed me to be. Now watch this. He said, you got to fight the good fight of faith. He said, because you profess a good professor. Well, watch this. All right. We've come full circle, beloved. He says, you profess a good profession. And you didn't do it in secret. You did it before many witnesses. Oh, watch this. Watch this. And so having professed a good profession, you don't have any more excuses. He said, before many witnesses, you acknowledge that Jesus was Lord of your life. Before many witnesses, you confess the same. Before many witnesses. And he says now, Paul says earlier on in chapters, in chapter 1, he says, it's for the which cause that I suffer these things. He said, because I suffer, but I don't suffer the way the world suffer. He says, in my suffering, I understand that this little suffering, this light affliction, is working in me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, in my suffering, I'm going to be persecuted simply because of the name of Jesus. But he said, for him that endure, they shall be saved. Don't worry about a little suffering. He says, it's my honor. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He says, and I'm not ashamed, not just because I know who I am, but more importantly, because I know in whom I have believed. It was him that brought me out of my yesterday. It was him that brought me to my now. It is him that has secured my future. It's him. See, because he's always coming towards you. That's why the scripture says that he'll deliver you out of your now and always keep you in your future. He'll deliver you out of your past and always deliver you into your now so that he can secure your future. Amen. And so, beloved, I want for some of you today, the hour cometh and now is. The hour cometh and now is. You don't have any more excuses. The hour cometh and now is. The hour cometh and now is. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. The hour cometh and now is. Now is the time for you to be who God has purposed you to be. This is the season of truth.